It's on.
And then you've got it back up as well.
Stop. Where do I do? Which one do I hit?
Side. Power.
On the side is your turn.
Power on. And then record. Okay. All right. I will call the March 10th Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees meeting to order with the a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, roll call. Bill Miller?
Present.
David Bench?
Present.
Mark Sattler? Present. Okay, in front of you, you have the minutes from February 25th, regular meeting. I have one change.
First one?
The first
yep,
one.
Yeah, that's what I caught too.
Yeah, Bo was present, David was absent. I just got those flipped. So I will make that change on, and this is a PDF, so I could not edit the electronic file.
I can second that.
Roll call, David Bench.
Present.
For approval of minutes, sorry.
I'm sorry. I abstained. I wasn't here, so I better abstain.
Right. Mark Sattler, yes. Bo Miller?
Yes.
Okay. Fiscal officer report. Joel could not be here today. He is in fire class. So we have his reports in front of us. Okay. Fund status. We have 80 in the checking account. We have 81,000. $691.37, and in the Star Ohio we have $594,608.70 in the Star Ohio for a total funds of $676,300.07. Payment listing, payment device 30-2020. Through 32-2020 and warrants 18448 through 18489. Total payments for $34,763.62 and receipts. We have receipts 29-2020 through 35-2020. Total revenue of $20,914.28.
I move to accept the fiscal officer's report as read.
I can second that.
Roll call. Bo Miller?
Yes.
David Bench?
Yes.
Mark Sattler? Yes. Report approved. Okay, next is the fire department report.
He just pulled up.
Oh, okay. All right, we'll table that. We'll come back to it.
No, here he comes.
Oh, okay.
saw you.
You're on the hot seat.
Hey, Chief, you're on. Welcome.
To be at the podium?
Please.
Okay.
That way the microphone will pick you up.
All righty. First thing, good evening, everyone. And first thing, I would just want to remind everybody, I'm sure everyone's all watching the canola. I'm getting tired. We had a couple runs last night. The virus that's going around. And the biggest thing is wash your hands, just be diligent, keep your distances. The fire department is getting a lot of networking, whether it be the health department, the CDC, local EMA, and local fire chiefs. So we've been working on a lot of different things and anticipating this to get worse before it gets better. So again, everyone do their diligence. Washing your hands for a good 20, 25 seconds is the best recommendation we can provide you at this time. Elsewhere in the fire department, we've been pretty busy had a fairly serious MVA accident the other day, and we life-flighted one individual out. And then we had a structure fire, which we had help from Oregon and the Allen Clay. Unfortunately, that damage was at a minimum, but it all went really well. I certainly want to thank everyone that was able to make it and help us out for those situations.
Excuse me, Tony.
Yeah.
Where was that? Structure fire.
So the structure fire was on Vila Road.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a rental house. But fortunately, the renter and the homeowner both had insurance. So, but the Red Cross did come out and they assisted the renter with some aid. So they, you know, because they weren't able to stay in the house to live in right now until they get it all the electrical fixed. So
I'm hoping there were no injuries.
There were no injuries. Wonderful. Everything went really, really well, and real happy with that. As far as we're continuing to work towards our flood plan meeting, which will be the 25th at 1 o'clock here at the station we're hosting.
March 25th?
Yes, March. Okay. And we'll have, just to give you an example of some of the attendees coming, and is the National Weather Service, Ohio EMA, Lucas County EMA, Ottawa County EMA, local fire chiefs, and then other mutual aid responders as well. So that's where we're working towards. We will do a tabletop scenario-based situation, and Department of Transportation will be here, the county engineers will be here. So I'm getting the help from Matt Krause from Lucas County EMA. We've got our scenario all organized, and we've got most of our information. We recently had our banquet, the firefighters banquet, and which we had a great opportunity to interview all of our retirees that attended. So a lot of those retirees participated in the floods back in the 70s. So I was able to gather some really good information from those folks as some historical data information. So, we know this flooding is real. It's gonna be, if that wind last night would have been a northeast, we'd be talking a different story today right now. I had gotten a call earlier today from Lucas County EMA, and they were looking for sandbags for Detroit. So this was the Corps of Engineers is looking for this, and they'll reach out to Kevin on getting some, but they'll replenish them right away too as well. So it's just, you know, interesting that everything is working like it's supposed to, and we're getting prepared. So I'm extremely happy about this. Next door, the house should be demoed tomorrow. Weather wasn't permitting today, but I talked with the contractor, and that should be taking place tomorrow. I don't think it'll last much more than a day or two at the very most to get that down, and then we'll get that all cleaned up nice. As far as some other really good news is the Firefighters Association agreed to pick up the other half of the brush skid unit. Half of it is going to be paid by Ohio DNR on a grant, and then the other half will be picked up for that by the Firefighters Association. So, which their association is going to donate anywhere right around $6,300.
Wow!
So it's quite a nice assistance to back to the township. And so, you know, ladies and gentlemen, when you guys do attend our feather party and people, you know, do spend their money and help us out that way, the association's just trying to put it right back into things that we, you know, feel are really necessary, and so that's a good thing. We have narrowed down the truck. I only am going to provide you an overview tonight, but we'll get into it on the next meeting in the exact details of it. But it's narrowed down to a Ford F-350 gas engine, single wheel, rear axle. Additional item that we're probably electing to go with is a utility box opposed to just a regular truck bed box, and which the skid unit will fit in into that. But this will give us additional compartments usage, and so it should prove out to be a very nice piece of equipment in addition to the equipment. But again, that'll be for next meeting when I have time to have the exact numbers, and then we'll go from there. I think that's it.
Okay, very good. All right, any questions for the chief?
No. Thank you, Tony.
Okay.
Thank
you, sir.
Mike, Recreation Department report.
Hello. A couple things here, real quick. Programming-wise, we'll start there. Volleyball is going, baseball and softball is indoors currently, as I reported last time, and that's all at Wynn. I keep you up to date on what's going on out there. There has been some minor problems, nothing major. Usually everything's taken care of before 9 o'clock in the morning. So it's been pretty quiet. So that's always good news. And another thing I like to keep you updated on is the lacrosse program. The seventh and eighth grade boys, the final number for that was 30 boys, which is a large number.
Well, that is. It's great.
Yeah. So that the eighth graders will feed right into the high school program next year.
Wow.
And so hopefully that will trickle down over the years, and it'll be a booming program.
Is that the largest sign-up you've
seen? This is the first year.
Oh, the first year. Okay.
Last year it was just a clinic and a winter league. This is going to be...
Yeah, that is a good start.
Yeah, it's a great start. Yeah. So we'll look forward to how that goes, and I will definitely keep you guys posted. And then another thing I promised I'd let you guys know about is the projects that we have. I did talk to Blousy, and we talked before about him doing the stoning the diamonds. I told him what I needed done, and I told him there was no rush. I gave a deadline of our mid-May is when they typically begin. Some of them are a little bit earlier, the older kids, but I can take care of that. So he said it'd be like a half a day project. Well, they would go in there and dump the stone and regrade the whole thing, which is what we need done. It hasn't been done for a couple years, and it needs to be done. He said what probably will happen, he's kind of busy now, so it'll be a matter of him calling me one day and say, we're going out there tomorrow, and that'll be done. So that's great, just as long as we get that done. And then I told him that I'll need a different number, a hard number for the walkway, and that can be after the kids are out of school, because that's going to be more involved. So that'll be, you know, like June, July. So all that seems to be going. I just told him I want to get on the schedule, and I want him to be aware, and he was more than willing to do everything. So that's good. I like the way he works. So another thing that we have discussed was landscaping around the pavilions. I did find the old the quote. It was like $2,000. I think I would just, me and some board members, will just do that ourselves. I think we can just plant some boxwoods and maybe some pontentillas or something to put some color in there, and for a few hundred dollars versus the few thousand dollars. So we'll come up with something and then present that to you guys. And I think once we put those in and mulch it, it'll be just fine, which is all it really needs. And then we'll mulch the trees. All that should be happening all at the same time. Another thing that I would like to talk to you about very quickly is that I know that Mark and Bo have talked with Dennis Ball and Zach. This comes up every few years. And I know Dave might not be up to it. They're always interested in building a facility, indoor facility, so it can be used year-round for baseball, basketball, whatever. And of course, they always include Jerusalem with it. And of course, we'd be more than willing to be partners with that. It seems like it happens. It comes up every 3 years-ish, and it always just falls apart. So it's a pretty large number. Nothing has been put out to the public. It's in the infancy stages, and I will definitely keep you up to date with what goes on with that. But it would be great to have that facility. I'm not holding my breath. So.
Yeah, you talked about it 12 years ago, I think, when I first started.
Yeah, so it's been a lot.
I couldn't believe when he approached us, we were talking, I asked him what their budget, they spend like $1.5 million on that wreck up there every year.
Yeah. Well, they're...
How many years would it take us to get that kind of money?
Well, we did talk a little bit about dollars, and he anticipates that it's going to be about $4.5 million building, which is a lot of money. And I said, we are nowhere near that budget. And he said, well, we definitely, all the teams are mixed together anyways, so that wouldn't be an issue. But I definitely give you all the information I have when that comes up. So that is going on. And the last thing I have is, what happened to the storage container?
That's coming up later on.
It's right back here by the salt shed.
I thought that was it back there. And then all the stuff that was in it, is that just still in there?
It's still in there. I thought it was empty.
I have a few things in
there. It's in there.
Okay. So I'll just sit tight. And
what do you got in it, Mike?
Some of that, the yellow tiling that goes around top. There's some paint in there. The bases are in there. The plugs are in there. And the nets to the soccer goals. And that's pretty much it. A couple of small tools. That's all I have for today.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. All right, Linda, zoning inspector report.
Oh, thanks, Mike.
Okay, you should have my report or my update. Just checking, how about the dumpster for the Briney property?
Nope.
You want to work on it soon?
Nope.
When are we going to do it then?
Sometime this summer. Right now it's so wet, if I get in there, it's just going to be mess.
Right, it is wet. Okay, I'm going to keep it on my list. I'm going to work on the junk vehicle now that the snow's gone and I can get in there. I'm going to work on the one down here. And then we just acquired the property on Cedar Point Road, and that has two vehicles. Since it's our property now, that we can remove them. So I'm going to get that done probably tomorrow.
We don't have to go through all the... We can just get them.
Unless he wants a salvage title. I'll see what he says when I call him. But we don't have to go through. Since they're on our property, we can remove them.
We're going to go through the 30-day notices in the mail and everything.
Yeah. I wrote 12 violation letters out. They're listed there. If you have any questions, just a lot of blight. Land bank, we did get the deed today for 8859 Cedar Point Road. That's the one where we took the house down. So we got it from the land bank. The neighbor, Brian Ellithorpe, is willing to purchase that property. I opened the letter and I emailed him because he emails me periodically to see how things are going, if we have it yet. I pulled down from the auditor that property is listed at $4,200 as a value. So he's willing to commit. Now, he didn't sign the letter, but he's willing to commit to the $4,200 plus our $320 if you so choose to go that direction.
Is that the one that burnt down years ago?
Yep.
It's been a long process for you?
Yeah.
Is there any chance we can add on to our demolition?
That's up to you.
I think maybe we should try it because there's a lot of people would want to. I'd rather see him have it, but there's a lot of people would want that for hunting, see. It butts up to the state.
Yeah, runs right along state property.
Yeah.
So, Columbia Bay property.
I don't.
So have we already incurred expenses for the demolition of the buildings?
Yeah, and I can't remember how much. I know that Joel, that would have been...
That would make sense to see if we can build that
recoup some more.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that might have cost 45.
Yeah, it was at least three something, somewhere in that vicinity. That's been quite a while ago.
Mm-hmm. I can do some more research and can come back next time.
If we could come and get a little bit of it back, I would think.
Yeah, that seems like that would be wise to try to recover our costs.
Yeah, just happened today, so. Just a report on the Rubens property, that 11960 Rubens. If you remember, we entered into a payment system with the person that wanted to purchase that, and we have received 5 out of 10.
Okay.
So we're halfway there.
And you're holding that title until you receive
all holding the title, holding the receipt. She brings in and puts it in the mailbox every month.
Very good.
Ram Hotel, they need to remove their shipping containers by April 20th. If not, the judge will rule against them. All right, I wanted to go back and address the... zoning board at the reorganizational meeting. It was discussed about Chris Flights and her on the board and at one of my sessions, and I apologize, I cut the front off, but the revised code is listed also on there. According to the revised code, once you appoint a board member, you have to only remove them if they have a reason. There has to be some form of malice to remove them, and or then there has to be a hearing as to why you're going to remove them. So I would like to reinstate her term, because you're also supposed to stagger them every year. So right now we gave her a 1 year, and so right now we have 2 expiring next year. So her term should have been for 2025.
Is that a 4-year term or a 3-year?
It can be 5, because there's 5 members. Okay. So they're supposed to be staggered every year. She would have been up this year. But that is in the revised code. I could have printed the revised code too, but I printed this first. But it does state that in that revised code noted there.
So let me ask you this. So we appoint the fire chief. If we get a new board, we could remove the fire chief without any cause.
I that's completely different. Revised code for zoning says once they're appointed, you can't, unless there's some malice. Well, there's a justification to remove them.
Then it's a lifetime appointment. Because if we don't renew her, it's a lifetime until...
It's kind of like your judges.
Somebody's removed.
Which is an interesting point to note once you appoint somebody, that it could be a life term.
Didn't realize that.
As long as they're willing to serve.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I would like to table this and see from legal, from Burrell personally, before I vote on it. That's just my opinion.
Okay. David, any comment?
If that's what it says, I mean, just that's the way it is. I It's right out here, black and white. I don't know.
So you wanna consult with?
I would like to consult with legal counsel.
We can,
first, I mean.
We can table it and do it the next meeting. It does bother me, but.
Okay.
It's pretty well black and white, but.
And then, just the zoning resolutions, with setbacks, the zoning board had a couple questions that, I need to answer for them before we approve that, so. We'll just table that till the next time. Other than that, that's all I have. If you have any questions?
Okay, very good. Any questions, anyone? Great, thank you, Linda. Before we leave zoning, I do wanna share that I did get an email. Oh, I'm sorry, is there? I did, I wanna share that I received an email, from not a resident of our township, a resident of Toledo, but she indicated that, she was trying to find a particular, address, historical address, and she, left a message. She got a call back from Linda. She praised, Linda's, taking the time to give her excellent directions, and, she was very, very complimentary of the support that she got when she was trying to locate a particular address in our township. So thank you, Linda, for presenting such a favorable image to this particular caller. Was there a question regarding zoning?
Because I had a question on zoning that I wanted to ask Linda. Several months ago, you brought it up, and then I read it somewhere. The state is making rules on boats like they have on cars when they're abandoned or dysfunctional. Has that proceeded? Is it okay on the zoning letter sent out to the fish boat by me? What was that based on? Is that based
on blight? You can still
blight.
Yeah, you can still consider boats blight.
Blight, but not like a junk car.
Right, it can't
okay.
be removed like a junk car. So that's what the state's looking at, that it can be removed in the same procedure
right.
as
the but
the
state hasn't moved forward with their definitions and their.
Correct.
Okay, so the fish boat is blight. Is that what you're saying? Mike's letter, was that based on blight?
His fish boat wasn't considered blight.
Okay. Okay, I was just trying to. I didn't see it.
Fish boat actually is on a lot that doesn't have a primary structure.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. But I was wondering if it was considered under the new state regulations.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on, maintenance department, Kevin.
Just a couple things. We met with the engineers. Me and Mark went and met with the engineers. Met with the EPA on the new regulations coming out on septic systems. It quite informative meeting. We did discuss in a little bit of length on them taking care of their roads that they shoved on us. There was a little bit of discussion back and forth before they finally admitted that was in the original agreement. We did present them with a list of roads and basically what we needed. They agreed they were gonna do it, so we went that far with them. So we'll see if we get those roads bermed and the drainage fixed. Did address the $75,000 pumping station down on Anchor Point Road. It sounds like they wanna get away from Minky having to pump their water. So they want to build their own pumping station, which they were saying was ours, which I told them that was a pre-existing condition prior to us taking the roads. And the agreement was that they would bring everything up. Brian Miller did agree, and eventually Mike did too, that yeah, that would be part of their bill to do that station. Can't think of anything else right offhand from them, but we did at least get them to acknowledge that they have to do that stuff. They are gonna, in my tar and chip program this year, one of the things in there was Howard Road. they're gonna cover the cost of whatever we pay to have Howard Road done. So that'll make our project a little cheaper, even though it won't show up till next year, the way the accounting system is. It'll show as income. And I think that was it from the engineer's office. Really, the only thing I had from the shop, had to replace the front brakes on the 550. And we're just about done with our winter maintenance for all of our mowers and everything. We got chipper and the tractor to go yet. I think one truck we're gonna change oil on yet. And that's all I got. You guys got something for me?
Well, we gotta get rid of the backhoe.
Well,
you guys have an idea of when we want to get rid of the backhoe?
I'd say at this
we just
point,
got the
we
bill.
Can call John. If we get anything now, I'm not thinking it's gonna be nothing major.
Yeah, we can. I was thinking the same thing. We'd get rid of it pretty quick.
Yeah, so we get rid of it this month.
Yeah,
March.
probably pull down. I was looking at back there. Maybe pull down the salt a little bit.
Don't want to pull too much down because if we get it in, we got to push it all back up again. It's up to you if you want to pull it down.
That's true too. I just thought maybe we get it off the wood maybe a little bit. Long as we got the old one.
Yeah.
If we just got it off the wood, just that's only what about a foot.
Yeah, well, the way it tapers, it most probably falls down in there. But we can look at it and see what we can get away from it.
Do whatever we got to do. We'll do it before we get rid of it.
Okay. Then the other thing to hit on the topic that Tony brought up about the sandbags, what they're looking to do is a bunch of our bags that are buried on the bottom are 1980 bags. So the Corps has decided to get rid of all the 1980 bags that we have. They're gonna send them like to Michigan, possibly into Wood County, into different places that will use them up either this year or next year to get rid of them, or to take a count on the bags that we're getting rid of and they will replace with new bags. And we can get an accurate count on actually what the Corps has in bags here. So that's what we're gonna do with them. They will be sending a truck out whenever we contact them this week or next week to pick up all the old bags. The new bags will be coming out of Illinois, so whenever they can get them here from Illinois. But it really doesn't matter, we're still gonna have 30, 40,000 bags while we're waiting on theirs to come back, so. Okay, anything else?
Okay. Oh, Kevin, on that, I forgot too, on the Howard Road, they're gonna let us do it with
yes.
our contractor?
Their crews are not doing it.
They good, good, okay.
Ours are gonna do it.
Okay.
All right, very good. Thank you, Kevin. Cemetery report. Kevin, anything on the cemetery activity? On the burials, etc.?
Nothing as of late, no.
Okay. Okay, trustee reports. Cemetery, I have nothing to report. Hall rental?
Nothing.
Okay, roads and bridges?
I think I'll cover most of it, and I see it's still all on here, everything, so I'll cover it
okay.
in old business and new business, whatever.
Well, you did on the cemetery, you did get a...
Oh, yeah, I was going to report.
All in that later on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, on to old business. David, first issue, sandbags. Anything happening today?
we got started today. It was started out as kind of a fiasco, but we got started. How many bags did we get? I'm so tired I couldn't even remember.
280.
280 bags.
Five pallets, five full pallets.
Yeah. So we got started. We're sewing them up. We're up at Toledo Alfalfa Mills, and we just go across and get the sand from Nissen's, and they bring it across, and it's working out pretty good. It's better than a shovel, and filling the sandbags. So. We're going to do it again tomorrow afternoon probably, and we're going to try and do 1,000, I think. So we have 1,000 sitting around here.
And if there are any volunteers, it's really good exercise. Yeah.
Really good exercise.
Good for your lower back, too. Yeah.
yeah. And we must have worked, what, about 2 hours
was,
maybe?
Yeah, about 2 hours. Yeah.
About 2 hours. We were ready to quit. I think the machine kind of broke down, but then they got it going again, and we said, this is it. So we will have sandbags. Yes.
Where do you have them?
George, George, you gotta get up.
Where do you have the sandbags at?
Say your name too, George.
I'm George Coker. I'm inquiring about the sandbags, because I live on Cedar Creek, is the one that goes behind my house. And if the water comes up another foot, we're gonna have water coming over the dike back behind where Kevin Wright lives, back in that area.
We got them up at the haymill right now, and we gotta figure out where we're gonna put them in the buildings here, so we'll have them here in a few days.
Okay. Can I talk about one other thing?
Yeah.
Okay, the pump that is at on, that pumps at 40 acres that we all live on from, where Sachs Road is goes.
Down at Bob's.
Yeah, Bob Stoddinger, he's been paying the rent, or he maintains the pump.
Uh-huh.
And he pays the electric bill on that. And the Edison, according to Bob, came in there and put a different meter on it. And said, now that's a commercial pump. And they're charging us like a commercial rate to pump that water. And it's like, if the water comes over the dike, we're done.
Yeah.
And so, is there any way we can get any kind of help for anything on, pumping the water? Or, we could maintain the pump, it's gonna cost us $1,200 or more just to pump what water comes over the dike or through the dike, if not more.
We got a lot of names of people from the Edison, maybe we can see what we can do that way too. And
yeah.
And if worse comes to worse, if that would break and it pumps a lot, I guess we might have to use, I know we'll have to use some stormwater money or something, yeah.
I think the pump is on the township property. Because that strip of land that goes there between the two creeks, you guys own it, right?
No.
The county does.
The county owns that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I got the county to clean that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then the south side of that dike then is the north side of our creek. And our pump is on the north side on the county property.
Yeah.
So, forgive me, where exactly
Sachs,
is this?
Sachs and
Teach Out. Right by the gun club.
Yeah, right there. Right. We cleaned that ditch probably about, 4 years ago, George?
Yeah.
And the commercial rate is quite a bit higher than the residential rate?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
They put a new meter on it. It was, like a rotary type meter, then they put a digital meter on it. Mm. And the bill went up 100%,
Oh, wow.
So Bob inquired with the Edison, and they said, well, that's just the way it is. It's a commercial pump. And so he thought they were just singling out that particular pump, it looks like it could belong to the county or to the township, right where it's sitting at.
But is this pump is privately owned?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We would like to give it away if somebody would like to.
But you'd expect that they'd use it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we could do the maintenance on it. We've been doing maintenance on it, ever since. I've been there over 40 some years, and the people on that 40 acres, we all contribute money towards doing the maintenance. And Bob Stoddinger, he worked for George Grotto Company, and he was one of their maintenance people. So he does all the maintenance on it, and we just kind of like help him financially to get along with it. But now that they doubled the electric rate on everything, it's just like, it's hard.
So we do have a contact for the gentleman that visited us a couple meetings ago. We could follow up with him. We could clarify that this is a privately owned pump. It's really not a commercially owned pump. And that maybe there's been a misunderstanding, because this ought to be subject to residential rates, not commercial rates. And the nearby residents kind of get together to cover the cost.
Yeah.
And they pool their monies.
From right where the pump is all the way to Route 2 on Teach Out Road. On the east side, we all, kick in. Whatever the bill is, we divide it by however many people there are there.
Okay, all right. That seems like a reasonable request.
Anybody
want to take the lead in contacting?
Do you have the guys? I think I've got it, but I can call him.
Okay,
check.
He gave us all a card, yeah.
I know, but
I've got it, yeah.
Shove them, throw them, you know.
Is there any way we could possibly get the county to like claim, you know, they could take the bulk over, you know, give it to them?
The chances of that are pretty slim, don't you think, Dave?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they don't want anything. They're pushing everything they can off to everybody else.
Okay.
They don't want anything.
The only thing you got going for is road water. You're taking their road water away. That is one thing. Yeah, that is that's the only thing they got going for them.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll mention it next time.
Yeah, well, I'm just emailing.
Next time I see the engineer, I'll mention that.
Okay.
Okay, all right. They just emailed that to you. Okay, very good, thank you. All right, next issue, dike update. I did talk with Jason Doctor today about the full report from the Army Corps of Engineers. He indicated that they are wrapping that up, and he expects to have that report to be able to send that off to us by the end of this week. So originally he had said, you know, by early this week, and he's saying there's a couple things I need to run down. So yeah, by Friday he expects to send it off. So we're on track. We'll be able to share that when that comes in. Next is Brown Road and Turnout. Dave, we tabled that from last time.
Yeah, I mean, basically everything's done there. I mean, you know, we cleaned the ditch from Brown Road to the creek, and we cleaned the road, you know, the front of the houses, we cleaned that ditch too. The only thing we have to do is we're coming to that, you know, that backflow preventer, and I did tell the engineers that if they get the backflow preventer, we would put it in. That way it will get done. And they agreed. So, but like Kevin says, we got to keep hitting them all the time to get this done. If you don't keep hitting them, they just keep putting you off.
We had a discussion on that when me and Mark was out there also. They were thinking that they were waiting on us to tell them to get the backflow preventer. That was something that we were just looking at, and we'd have to wait for the water to go down. Well, I did tell them that I wasn't worried about the water going down because we'd put a diver in the creek side, put a bladder in that pipe, then we'd have to pump that basin out to the creek. Then if they got the backflow preventer, we'd hire a contractor or install it ourselves. So it sounded like they would order the backflow preventer, and whatever costs that we incur, we can charge the stormwater.
Stormwater,
yeah. And they've got the right diameter?
They said they did.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's relatively new, so it should be, hopefully, if their prints are right. I mean, it's...
Yeah, that's not that old, you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, thank you. Thank you for that update. Next is ditch petition for Cooley, Cedar Creek, and Wilhelm.
The Cooley and Cedar Creek's the same one, of course, and the Wilhelm is the one back of Grottles and... Woody's, Daryl's back there, and they're all turned in. So, like I said, we got to keep pushing to get something done. The one for the Cedar Creek though is going to be more the Ottawa County engineer working on that. I know that much. So I see him at church, and I'll bug him about that one. And so they're turned in, and I guess they're going to start working on them. Oh, and I guess I should mention that. We're going to petition that ditch at the end of DeCant Road, so I got to turn that in yet. Get some people to sign that, so we get that turned in and get that also.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you. Next, Alan Pfaff is our Lucas County engineer. Kevin mentioned that we met with Alan and the other engineers. So the just on the cemetery survey, Alan is, he indicated that he gave us some preliminary photos, drawings.
Good, you're working on it.
They are, yeah, they're work, he's not quite finished. He did indicate that the road, I think, yeah, we've got,
the center driveway that we were gonna put in the new section, they are now saying that we can't connect it to the road, it has to be connected with our other driveways. We can file with the county to take and, petition them to let us access the road. And he said if it was denied, we can do one other thing and they'd most probably eventually approve it. But we have to put that paperwork in.
Right. So the first step is to, file this access permit application.
They don't want us for an entrance or anything, this one over here, the new one?
No, no.
Oh, wait, new one's over here.
No, that was right.
You were right.
Let me see here.
Right here is Brown Road.
That's Brown Road.
And they, we wanted to go straight out.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. We didn't wanna turn because we'll lose too many grades that way.
Okay.
Just wanted to go straight across.
But they're saying they won't let us do it. Practice that's within the 50 foot of the next driveway. This won't give us access to it.
I said, so if somebody bought the property and put in a house, they wouldn't let them put in a driveway? They said, no, they would try to have them share a driveway with either the cemetery or the neighbor. That just sounds like we're going back to sharing wells again and letting neighbors fight over who's responsible for something.
All right, so we need to, the first step is we need to complete this access permit application, send it in. He indicated that it will most likely be denied. And then once we get the denial, we would then need to submit the application for a variance. And then it goes before the county commissioners for process. It's a process. Doug Parrish in the county engineer's office will, he will help us to get this all put together and filed, and I'll be working with him to get that completed. Now the question that I talked with Alan about today, so he's wrapping up a few things. Now, do we wanna go ahead and ask him to give us our cemetery report so that we can then start to go out for bid with the driveway the way we don't want it? Or the alternative is, if we're able to then get the variance approved, he would then reissue the drawings later once that variance is approved. So the question becomes, do we get the preliminary stuff and go out for bid and get going on the cemetery? Or do we say, no, we've got to go through the application, denial, and variance request before?
How long is this going to take?
My opinion is on it, it's just moving a drive. I mean, instead of going 90 degrees, you're going straight out. It's probably about the same amount of stone. It's gonna be close enough for us to get some preliminary pricing on so we know what we're dealing with. I think we're gonna do this in stages. I mean, the first thing we're gonna do is just get the dirt work moved.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably all we're gonna be able to afford to do.
I mean, to dig the pond and then fill in that low area in the back.
And get it graded, and then, you know, probably trees are the next thing going along the property there, you know, the property line.
I can agree with that. We might as well get started on it. We'll probably get a driveway. If not, you just put it in and say, oh, I'm sorry. That's been done before.
Okay, all right. I will follow up with Alan and tell him that, yeah, as soon as he's ready with that, we want to go with what he's got.
Okay, I'm down to a date.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Next is the state capital budget. Just I'm going to leave it on here because we did make a request for state capital budget funds for 2021. That's a future issue. Next is Jerusalem Township Strategic Planning, that I'm gonna continue to leave that out here. We'll be visiting that off and on over the long term, so, but not tonight. Okay, number eight, the annual meeting with the Lucas County Engineer. Kevin mentioned that. I thought I'd just try to run through some of the various issues that were on there. They talked about personnel changes at the engineer's office. There's been quite a bit of turnover.
Yeah.
At the meeting, Mike Stormer was there, David Welsh was there, and Brian Miller was there. They did provide us with the hard copy of the 6-year capital improvement project. And Bo, you've got a copy, and David, I left one on your chair. They said that is also online on the Lucas County Engineers website. We can get to that if we ever need to check it there.
Excuse me, it seems like Mike Storm is gonna be the front man anymore.
I missed this. Alan Pfaff is our new point of contact.
Oh, yeah?
For everything.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So,
I don't know if I met him yet.
Yeah, he's been in the meeting with us.
He's pretty quiet.
Yeah. He was there last year when you were.
Was he?
Yeah. He was Brian's understudy, wasn't he? Brian Miller's understudy, I think. Kevin, didn't he work in the stormwater?
He was over on that side, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So he's going to be our point of contact.
Oh, they told you that?
They did. They said they're reorganizing and they had to redistribute some duties, and he'll be our point of contact for any questions, any issues. Request for engineering assistance. They have a new form, and I need to get you gentlemen copies. There's also a link on the engineer page. Just when you go out to the engineering page, Mike's photo, there's a link right below his photo for that request for engineering assistance. So that is out there. But everything they want on that form now. Electronic plans submissions for permitting is now mandatory. All and jump in here if you can add to this, but they're saying that when you submit a plan for permitting, it needs to be submitted electronically. Does this hit you, Linda? Okay.
Yeah.
Does that all make sense to you?
Yeah, they did that over a year ago.
Okay.
Initiated it.
Okay. They provide an update on drainage and stormwater utility, and as Kevin said, they talked a little bit about Anchor Point. Yeah. Building in the floodplain, Linda, I think this is probably in your area. They talked about checking the floodplain map before issuing permits, and the Lucas County Engineering Office GIS information is out on the web. And they also talked about in-ground pools, ponds, landscape mounds, fences, small sheds under 200 square feet. Does not need a building permit, but must follow floodplain regulations. Okay. They updated their contacts and information for road closures. We did go and talk with a county health department about septic inspections, and I've got a whole folder of stuff that I need to share with you gentlemen. And that was pretty much.
Well, it sounds they're gonna come out and check them all, aren't they?
Well, what they were gonna do is people should start getting notified the end of this month. They're gonna start with everybody that is in the bad deal over around Curtis and stuff. They're gonna concentrate that area first. Then it's eventually gonna cover the whole township. And basically the gist of it was is they're gonna require you to pump your tank every 5 years with a receipt, and the pumping company will inspect your tank whether they're pumping it, and they'll send you out a form that you have to fill out every 5 years saying you've had your tank inspected and pumped and it was in satisfactory condition or better. And there's a cost for that.
Oh, sure, I'm sure, yeah.
The county's gotta get their share. There will be a cost for that form.
All right, and I think Kevin mentioned that we did ask them about intersections where there's visibility issues, if they're county intersections, if they would permit us to address the visibility issues, you know, whether that's mowing or whatever in the spring and summer, and then charge them back for it. And they agreed that yes, they would do that. They agreed that that would be more affordable to just pay us for our time spent rather than for them to send a crew out and for the travel time each way. So anyway, we asked for that, we got that. That's all good.
We just got to notify them. They got to have the opportunity to say, I got a crew out there or I don't. And it's all on the urgency of it too. Obviously, if the tree's laying halfway across the road and they're not going to be able to make it out for hours, then yeah, we would remove it from the road. They would clean everything up, but we would clear the road and the obstructions.
Okay. All right, thank you. Any questions on that before we go on to the next one? Okay. So February 20th, there was a Lucas County Township Association meeting on the 911 consolidation plan. The county is putting its 911 consolidation plan into place right now. But there are a lot of parties to this that have some questions. And so anyway, I want to take you through a little bit of that. So let me start here. This is the Lucas County Regional Council of Governments that is set up right now and is going into there. They've gotten enough signatures. It only took, what, three signatures? Three signatures to put that in place. They have at least three. It is moving forward. But a number of jurisdictions have objected to the way the county is doing this and have assembled an alternate Regional Council of Governments. Here's a few differences. The alternate Regional Council of Governments, the representation is by the members, by the elected chief executives. We have representation under the alternate. We really don't over here, because whoever gets appointed, the chiefs that are appointed are on the board of directors, and then none of the elected officials have a voice. The alternate plan allows annual and special meetings of members. It allows one vote per member, and by the way, there would be 21 members each jurisdiction. There's 21 jurisdictions that make up the county, with Jerusalem Township being one of those. Under the alternate, we are permitted to amend the organizing agreement at any point. We can amend and adopt bylaws. We can, you know, since there's 21, if at least 11, if a simple majority adopts the agreement and makes changes, then that would prevail. So that is a very brief view of that proposal. Here's what that would look like. So the Lucas County proposed structure is over here. What you have is at the top, you have the board of directors, which is made up of the seven chiefs of service. That would be some chiefs of police, some chiefs of fire. That would be the board of directors. There would be some advisory groups, technical enforcement, fire service, and administration. All of the elected officials would have, the only voice they would have is as a technical advisory group. And if I understood correctly, as elected officials, our only issue that we would be consulted on is to approve their annual budget. We'd have 90 days to agree to their annual budget. And but otherwise, you don't see any elected officials having any representing you on this proposed Lucas County structure. Here is the alternate structure. The idea is that all members, all jurisdictions are at the top of the org chart, all 21, and they appoint a board of managers, which would be 7 professional administrators from amongst the jurisdictions that would be basically be in charge. There would be the same law enforcement and same fire and emergency, and there would be the chief executive and the fiscal officer. But the difference here is that at any point, if 11 out of 21 say, hey, you know what, something about this is not working for us, let's get together and fix it, they can do it with this alternate proposal. Over here, we have no voice. We have no power to make any changes. It's out of our hands completely. So they provided us with and this is, there's been some input and discussion on this. This is the alternate agreement. Sorry, guys. There's a set for you. Here, there's a set for you.
This is the thing when we read at the meeting, right?
Yeah, so I think they may have incorporated a couple of the issues that were brought up at that meeting.
Oh, okay.
So there is in the
email, right?
Yes. This is all emailed. Yeah. So there is an agreement, and then there's bylaws. Their request was that if we have declined to sign the county's agreement that we talked about that was on the left side, the alternate agreement. If 11 out of 21 sign this, then we'll take it forward to the county and say we'd like you to recognize this alternate, because the majority of the jurisdictions have signed this and it said that they agree with it. So I guess the question I want to ask tonight is, do we want to proceed to sign the alternate agreement, and then we can forward that on to Andy Glenn, who is collecting all of these.
I can make the motion to sign the alternate agreement.
I'm not signing the other one, so.
Yeah, right. Is there a second?
I'll second it. I'm sorry.
Roll call. David Bench?
Yes.
Mark Sattler, yes. Bill Miller?
Yes.
Okay, so we will sign this alternate agreement and then forward it on. Okay, very good. Next is Eastern Maumee Bay Chamber of Commerce. There's a strategic planning session coming up in another week with Roger Bostorf. I'm planning on attending that.
What time is that, Mark?
That is in the morning. That is from 7:30. Yeah, that starts at 7:30 at Mercy, St. Charles Hospital in the conference room.
Mm-hmm. 7:30.
Okay. 7:30, correct. Okay. Number 11, road mileage certification. We did. Joel's not here. He did get an email. I was copying on it from Sarah in the engineer's office, indicating that we haven't signed that, and they want to turn that in.
Sign both copies.
Ah, okay. There it is. Thank you. Okay. Do we are we comfortable proceeding with signing this? Do we have any issues?
Nothing we do about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're stuck.
We're stuck. Okay. So okay, we need to sign both copies. three copies.
Okay.
All right, I'll let you finish before we move on to new business.
I had two other old businesses.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
One for Joel, but I didn't know if you had heard. Did he have any luck with the state on setting up the sub-account for the zoning money?
I haven't heard that that's been approved. Have you heard anything yet, Linda?
No.
Okay. And then, at your meeting with Lucas County, did you get a hear from Mike on the surveys that you ordered?
Are you talking about the speed
study? No, the surveys of the creeks and the. Remember, he was going to do the surveys.
Oh, right, right, yeah. Okay. No, I have not heard anything. I've got to call into him on another issue. Those to for next time. Okay. All right. Then moving on to new business. We tabled this from last time, David, the TMACOG Agriculture Committee meeting that you attended on February 19th.
I skipped that one.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. See, we could have got rid of that one last month. I got a Dave one too.
Okay. Bo, did you want to talk about the rec storage unit?
Yes. So, I was a little taken back when I come by and saw the Connex box sitting on the trailer, and I had called Mark, and he didn't know anything about it. I called Mike, he didn't know anything about it. I guess, when did we as a board decide to get rid of the Connex box or move the Connex box?
Well, we have to get rid of it, so we have to decide what we're going to do with it, but it couldn't be there anymore, and Mike knew it had to go, so I guess we have to figure out what we're going to do with it now, if we're going to put a roof on it, keep it here, or have the Zoning Board of Appeals figure out what we have to do to keep it, to put sandbags in it, or whatever. But it was kind of a decision made because we could get our tractors out there, lift it up, and get it out of there. It had to go, so.
But it's a board decision to remove it. It's, I guess, where I'm at. I guess if a phone call
would
have been made.
I don't see where it's a board decision. We had to get it out of there, so we just lifted it up. It's sitting on a wagon. We can do with whatever we want to do with it. It didn't belong there, so we all agreed to that it had to go, because legally we can't have one sitting out there if the Ram Hotel got said that they can't have theirs, so we can't have one sitting there either like that, so.
It would have been nice if I would have got a phone call that said this was happening today. I could have got my stuff out of there, and
You still have it. But you knew, Mike. We talked about this earlier.
Did. And then the last time we talked about, last time it was brought up, it was just, we'll address it again, is what it was. And then.
Well, the sandbags situation is coming up real quick, so. I figured whatever we're going to do, we got to do it. I wanted to get it out of the field while it was froze, so we could get it out of there.
And what is the. I'm not familiar with the zoning. Is it just zero shipping containers are allowed on township property, or how is it worded? What is the, I've never read it.
Yeah,
what
shipping
is it?
Containers are not allowed.
Anywhere on that at all?
Unless you get a variance.
We have to get a variance, and I think the variance is we got to put a roof on it and put siding on it maybe, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Has the zoning board come up with stipulations yet on it? To, I mean, or is that a BZA decision?
It's a BZA decision.
Because we did talk about roofing it before, and that never happened because of the cost and what it was. And then we did talk about moving it, and then that kind of went to the side. So I was just kind of throwing it back that it just was moved. I mean, it is what it is.
What's your opinion on it, Mark?
Whatever.
Well, I guess going forward, what do we want to do going forward?
We could sell it, just get rid of it. We don't have the problem.
Do you need something for storage?
Well, it was nice to have it out there. There's, you know, I'm not gonna deny that fact. No. It's nice to have everything out there at once. And, you know, I put all the summer stuff in there, and it's right there instead of running back here all the time. It's convenient. It's nice. Is it necessary? Is it a convenience? Yeah, I mean, for sure.
Oh yeah.
And we did talk about other things, perhaps filling in the bad pavilion, a part of it or whatever, and using some of that, but I don't know if I agree with that. I like the way it is now. We're going to have to look at some options, I guess.
Jim Boothby, a question. I guess it would be directed to Linda. Would it be grandfathered? Was there before the law was written, as others are grandfathered?
Well, it's a truck body, so technically it fits under that. Technically, it still fits under a truck body, so no. It's part of a vehicle, so it's considered light.
It's a shipping container. It's, you know, that's a fine line, but yeah. You can't draw lines and then say, well, it's this. There has to be grandfather there. Maybe somebody don't like blue roofing. Yeah, well, that, you can't make everybody with a blue roof tear it off. So if it was there prior to that, it probably would be legal. So any private, and I know they're all over the township, any private individual that had it there for the last 13 years, because 2 years ago they made it illegal, has to have them removed, correct?
You're correct about grandfathering, but when you're talking about blight in a shipping container, there's another fine line.
I guess I don't really understand how that could be considered blight, but I don't know the zoning laws like you do, and I respect that, but I don't see that a single shipping container sitting out there. I've seen it, and it doesn't appear to be blight compared to some other things in the township. You get overlooked.
So what we could do is Mike could file a BZA request with the BZA board.
Correct.
To keep it. And then they would put stipulations that they feel, they could say it has to be painted with 18 karat gold, and if he says it ain't worth it, then he just wipes his hands of it and he's done with it. I mean, they could put any stipulation they want on it. It's up to you. You want to appeal it?
Well,
to
I
BZA?
Don't
want to,
you know,
I'd like to appeal
waves,
it.
But I think I will maybe take it up with our board and see what they want to do.
So you're going to talk with your board to evaluate what your needs are?
Yeah.
And then what's the best solution for those waves?
I mean, I know what it is and the zoning, and I understand that. I just am kind of not happy with the way it went down, is all, really.
Mike, you knew. We talked about this earlier.
We did, but the last thing we talked about was that it would be addressed later down the road, not that it would just be plucked up at any given time and moved. That is my whole issue with that.
I agree with you. That's exactly where I'm at with it too.
Oh, sorry, Kevin.
Not to add any more to it, but a couple months ago, Mike stated that he had the box emptied out.
Oh, no,
that's what you said. I never opened the doors because the nets and everything were on the outside that we used to put inside except the physical netting. So we picked it up and moved it.
My next question is
we are now bagging sandbags and I need that trailer. Mike, where would you like that set in your parking lot, because we can't get in the dirt with it now?
I don't recall saying that it's empty because I never emptied it.
That's what you told us 2-3 months ago.
Not in the meeting, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
It's not empty. I don't think I would have said.
Well, it doesn't matter. There wasn't anything breakable. But my thing is I'm going to need the trailer to haul the pallets of sandbags. So if we're not going to set it where it's at, where would you like it at? Then that solves it until you file whatever with the BZA.
and it can sit there until, if it's passed, we can move it wherever you want it.
Put it in the parking lot.
I really don't want this to be like a big issue. I mean, it seems like I'm kind of like in a spot I don't want to be in right now. And if the township needs it for sandbags, use it for sandbags.
We don't know if we can either. We have to find out from the BZA what we have to do to make it work too, so.
Your immediate issue is the trailer it's sitting on, right? Is that what I heard?
We don't have to. We can pick it up and put it down, no problem. You know, okay. Just until we find out what we're gonna do with it. No big deal.
I think it was, I think Ron bought the thing, so I don't think the township's out any money.
Oh, no, no. You're right.
So, I will.
Talk to your board.
Okay.
Okay, and address what your storage needs are. And then, okay.
So what's the difference between we got some type of prefab trailer that was the same dimensions, that would be allowed then? There's no trailers allowed, or no? It's
like accessory building. The whole idea is to try to get rid of portable things. Portable storage things and build a pole barn or an accessory building or a garage.
Okay. We talked about that one time. Remember putting a pole barn out there somewhere?
That was the whole reason why we put storage shipping containers into it, because we didn't want to see them sitting all over the township anywhere. So that was the reason we added it to the zoning code and went through that whole process to do that and research that.
Okay, well, we'll discuss it, and whatever they decide is I will present to you guys.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion on that? Okay. All right. Planned stormwater projects for 2020. This is another takeaway that Kevin and I had after we met with the engineers, that we really ought to, here we're, you know, in their first quarter of the year, we ought to assemble a list of what our stormwater projects are. And then when we get into the fourth quarter, if we haven't exhausted our stormwater monies, we ought to make sure that we have those things that need to get done, that we get done before the end of the year. This came out of a discussion, Kevin, where if we don't use all of our stormwater money by the year end of the year, it does not roll over to the next year.
It should go into a pool of savings to work on at a later date.
It should, okay.
Yes, because there was a lot of townships when we first started this that didn't use any of the money. For the first 2 years, I think we were the only ones who used all our money. What they did is, let's say 5 years from now, we're gonna clean Crane Creek and we're gonna use all our money or whatever. We just start pooling that money, and at the end of that 5 years, then we use that lump sum to clean whatever we can of Crane Creek or something.
Okay, so what you're saying is that though any unused monies, if we didn't use all of 2019's monies, it'll be out there for us, and if we have a bigger project in the future, we can tap into that.
That's the way it was explained to us. We've never been able to get the total figures of what we have. They allowed us X amount of dollars every year, which every year it has went up considerably after the first 2 years.
Well, this year it went down, didn't it? I thought we had like 80,000 last year.
I don't remember what it was.
About 60.
Was it 60 last year?
We're supposed to be getting more, though.
Yeah, as the years went on, it was supposed to build as the money built. And we take sort of a hit with the county, because now that we got this money, they charge us for engineering, where anything we ever did before, they never did.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So there is money that goes out of there like that. But like, for what we set aside this year to do, if we don't get it all done, it's not a crisis. It's just part of a program that eventually we want to get to the end. But if we don't set the money out there now, if we're doing budgets, we can't do the project. So like the catch basins and stuff, I think there's like 36 basins in the township of ours that need updating. So over the years, I'm starting to try to do at least 10 a year. They're typically around $1,000 per basin, depending on the pipe work and everything that goes into them. So that's why I set that money, but it's supposed to pool.
Okay. All right, so, okay, we believe it's gonna pool. Do we have any action items? Do we need to try to find out how much is accumulated out there at this point?
The only thing you can do is talk to Brian Miller. The way I understand it, he's keeping track of it. That's all I can tell you. That's the only person we've dealt with on it.
We've did pretty good though, using it up every year. I mean, we...
Yeah, we shouldn't have much pooled. Last year, I think, was our first big down year that we didn't spend a lot.
The year before, so we overspent. They told me you stop.
Okay. Okay, very good. All right, any other new business?
Jim's.
Oh, I'm sorry.
While we're on the stormwater.
Yes, sir.
I came in and talked to David about 3 years ago, and he told me to go... This is dealing with the stormwater money, about having some trees cut along Lakeway. They're dead, that end up in the ditch, when they end up dead in the ditch, then the conservancy has to pay about three times more to have them removed from the ditch than it does to cut them while they're standing there, they're dead, which costs a lot of money. David sent me to Brian Miller, said he don't know that you can use that money for that. Brian Miller told me that the township could, and with his blessing, to do that. And then, of course, every year I come back and ask the board about that, about having some of them, not live trees, these are dead trees that end up rotting and falling in that ditch and clogging up the pumps. So once again, David, I'm back asking, are you going to consider cutting some of them dead trees down that'll end up in the ditch with this money? And
well,
like you said, Brian said that was okay to use that
money. There's some stuff coming around here. Rottle's going to either give the all those ditches he owns to us or the conservancy. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm thinking we're going to start doing, is cleaning some of these ditches up. You know,
that particular one isn't owned by John, that's owned by another gentleman, but
it's
similar to what John owns, and this is at the Howard Farms end.
Yeah.
This gentleman's is from Rialto this way. Okay. And really the only trees that need, the dead trees, are from just a little east of Park Colony to the canal.
Okay. We should.
If you could consider that once again, and here again, this is about the third year that I've been asking. Yeah. You know, I get a head shake and maybe this year or something. But
well, we've been spending the money, and you know, we've been.
I understand.
Yeah, we haven't been putting it in our pockets or anything. You know,
I understand that.
Yeah.
But I just want to.
You're right though.
Once again.
Yeah.
You know, because once them trees go down, then it's just a whole lot. Much more money.
Jim, why don't you call me up sometime and we'll take a ride and we'll go down and do that.
Would it be helpful then as these are accumulated to put them on a list and carry over from year to year?
Because
put things in order?
Some of these are some extremely large trees, and when they go down and take transformers.
I know which ones you mean there, because it happened once already.
It's happened already.
Yeah.
Now you go from being out of power for a day to 4 or 5 days because it becomes a hazardous material incident. Once some transformers end up in the creek, now you got environmental cleanup and all kinds of, which isn't cost on us, but still, you end up without power for about 4 days.
But we did have a problem down there, remember that June storm?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it eventually happened with them dead trees again.
Yeah, it'll happen again there,
So once again, I'd ask that you consider that.
Stop and pick me up and we'll take a ride for them.
Definitely will.
Yeah.
We tag them or somehow, and then have Lake Erie go in there and just give us an estimate. Hey, they're tagged.
Yeah, because some of them are. You just see they're going to hit the wires and
take
the juice down someday.
Well, not coming from one way, the other way, there's actually would fall on people's houses.
Are they?
There's people living all along there.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
Thanks for bringing it up, Jim.
Any other new business? Let's go to any public participation on business. Anyone have anything that they would like to say to address the board? No? Is there a motion to adjourn?
I so moved.
I can second that.
Roll call, David?
Yes.
Mark Sattler, yes. Bill Miller?
Yes.
Motion passes. Okay, meeting is adjourned at 8:25. Our next meeting date, March 24th, 7 p.m. Very good, thank you. Oh, can you turn that recorder on?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh! Oh. We appreciate that. Goodbye.